Welcome to Just a Minute. My name is Nicholas Parsons, and as the minute waltz fades away, once more it is my pleasure to welcome the four exciting panelists who are going to play the game, Derek Nimmo and Clement Freud, Paul Merton and Tony Hawks. Would you please welcome all four of them? And this particular edition of Just a Minute is being performed before a fringe audience at the Pleasance Theatre during the Edinburgh International Festival. And as usual, I'm going to ask our four panellists to speak, if they can, on the subject I give them, and they will try and do that without hesitation, repetition, or deviation. Paul Merton, will you begin the show? And the subject, very aptly for Edinburgh, is the Firth of Forth. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
The Firth of Forth, so much better than the Firth of Fifth, I find. A marvellous stretch of water. I often, when I'm up in Edinburgh, I go for a swim. I get up half past seven in the morning. I go down there. I go onto the bridge. I leap.
And Derek Nimmo's challenge.
Too many goes.
Yeah, you were going too much there.
I just get so excited about it.
No, you were really a goer there. Right, Derek Nimmo, a correct challenge, so you get a point for that. You take over the subject, the Firth of Forth. There are 47 seconds left, starting now.
Starting at North Berwick, it continues this great elbow of the sea up river ever again.
Paul Merton challenge.
So sorry.
Deviation, I think.
Oh, terrible.
Deviation.
Elbow of the sea, I think, through him.
So, Paul, I agree with the challenge, and point to you for a correct challenge. 42 seconds are left for you to take the subject back. Firth of Forth, starting now.
I bathe in the cool, clear H2O that just laps against my chin as I bathe. Oh.
Derek.
Well, it's not cool and clear, that's for one thing. Really. Well, everyone likes it.
So that's deviation, cool. But there's also hesitation. Right, Derek, another correct challenge. 35 seconds for you, the Firth of Forth, starting now.
My favourite village on the Firth of Forth is Crowmond. I used to go and stay there as a child many years ago at a house called Crowmond House. And one called...
Clement Freud challenge.
Two Crowmonds and two houses.
Yes, there were. All right, don't rub it in, Clement. I mean, one's
sorry
enough.
Sorry about that, Claire. I'm sorry, I'm not very attentive. Right?
Clement Freud, correct challenge. 26 seconds are left. The Firth of Forth, starting now.
I don't actually know a lot about the Firth of Forth, other than that the temperature is not cool and the water is unclear. It is, in fact, a filthy stretch of water. Between
Tony Hawks are challenged.
I thought I'd get in before the audience lynched it. He did repeat water as well.
He did repeat water. Well done, Tony. Yes. So 12 seconds are left for you to tell us something about the Firth of Forth, starting now.
The Firth of Forth is a marvellous stretch of water. The gateway to the north of Scotland, and you can go across the bridge and stand looking at the...
Yes, all right. Whoever is speaking as the whistle goes gains an extra point, and it was Tony Hawk, so he's equal in the lead with Derek Nimmo at the end of the round. Derek, your turn to begin the subject, Big Hands. Would you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Well, I haven't got particularly large hands myself, nor have I particularly wanted to help. I don't know why I said particularly three times now.
Paul Merton.
Particularly three times.
Yeah, particularly, yeah. Right, 51 seconds for you on Big Hands, starting now, Paul.
I think it was Anwar Sadat who had that hit record with You Need Hands to Hold Someone You Care For. And this is true because one of my favourite footballers when I was growing up was Pat Jennings, who played for Spurs at the time, and he had these enormous hands. One of his tricks was when the ball was coming across from the wing, he'd leap up like a salmon leaping out the Firth of Forth and grabbing the ball just like that, just in the middle of his huge...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Two justs.
Two justs, yes. Fine, yes.
Well, as he was a...
I would think we would call that not a popular challenge. But it was a correct challenge, so I had to be fair within the rules of Just a Minute. And, Derek, it was correct. You have 33 seconds. You take back. Big hands starting
now. One of these American expressions I really rather hate. They say, come on, give them a big hand, which means that someone needs desperately a bit of applause because nobody's ever heard of them. And they totter onto the stage, and then again they say, another big hand, when they finish. Why they have to keep on reiterating those words, I do not know. There used to be a place called near Dumfriesshire where they used to have hand facing. Big...
Paul Merton challenge.
Deviation, there can't be a place called near Dumfriesshire. Unless it's very small.
You're on form tonight, Paul. Yes, correct challenge. 14 seconds, big hands, starting now.
A big hand is usually given for somebody who's entertained an audience at some point. I agree with Derek, sometimes this is artificially put into the proceedings, but this case, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Clever Freud challenged.
Too many thises.
Yes, yes, rescuing him as well. 5 seconds, Clement, big hands, starting now.
Big hands is an anagram of bashing D. It's also a city.
Tony Hawk's challenged.
I don't think it is.
All right.
Mind you, I'm what guessing.
Yes, you're guessing. Dashing, what did you say?
Bashing.
Bashing D.
I think he's right,
why
actually.
Why are we suddenly doing crossword?
You'd have to...
Half a second for you, Clement, on big hands, starting now.
Large club.
End of that round, Clement Freud was speaking as a whistle went, gained that extra point. He's now in the lead, just ahead of Paul Merton and Derek Nimmo, and Tony Hawk's only 1 point behind those other two. Clement Freud, your turn to begin. The subject, influencing people. 60 seconds as usual, starting now.
I think if you want to influence people, there's no better subject to talk about than big hands. There are many who believe that large mitts or excessively big digits.
Paul Merton challenge.
The repetition of big.
Yes, you said the big is not on the card. That was last time. So 48 seconds are left, Paul, for you on influencing people starting now.
Influencing people, of course, is an anagram of influencing evil, which is a little small town just outside Dumfries.
Sorry. Tony Hawk's your challenge.
I'm afraid it isn't. Yeah. There's no K in influencing people.
No. In this occasion, Tony, I definitely agree with you. So you had the subject of influencing people. There are 42 seconds left, starting now.
There are many ways of influencing people, with money, with fame. Stan?
Clement Freud.
Two withers.
So, Clement, another point to you, and another, and the subject again, 38 seconds influencing people, starting now.
Mr. Chris Eubank influences people enormously with his fists. Many... fallen onto the canvas floor and been unable to get up again as a consequence of punishment by this black pugilist. Other ways of influencing people would be to persuade them to adopt a new policy, politics of a kind they had not previously experienced or practiced, or possibly taking them for a walk in Scotland and showing them the beauties of the topography, the clear water, the fast-running deer and hare.
You had the audience on the edge of their seats, Clement. They could almost see the mental wheels turning in your brain as you gain the extra point for doing so and have increased your lead at the end of the round. Tony Hawks, would you take the next round? Karaoke, or karaoke as some people pronounce it. There are 60 seconds on the subject starting now.
At first I was afraid, I was petrified, kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. And now I spend so many nights just thinking I could keep you wrong. Do you think I'd fall? Do you think I'd lay down and die? No, not I. This is the kind of song that people like to sing when they're doing karaoke. They get up there on that stage. It's their chance to have a little piece of stardom. And boy, do they grab it with both of their...
Paul Merton challenge.
Well, it's just patronising. They're chance to grab a little piece of stardom?
Well, it may be patronising, but it still wasn't deviating from Just a Minute. So, Paul, the audience like your challenge. I'll give you a bonus point for that. But Tony gets a point for being interrupted. Tony gets a point for being interrupted, right? And he keeps the subject, karaoke, and...
Repetition.
So, Tony, you carry on with 34 seconds left, starting now.
And now the end is here, and so I face these young people. I said people.
There ain't no more challenge.
Repetition of people.
Yes.
I nearly didn't say it that time, though, did I?
21 seconds, Derek, karaoke. Starting now.
I have some particularly dear friends called Leslie Melville who live in a place called Lochlickett near Garve, and they have bought a karaoke machine, and it's absolute nightmare, because after a wondrous dinner, it's marvelous salmon and so on, one retires to play and sing karaoke. It is ghastly. You don't even fortify with a number of drams, it doesn't improve my voice. I sing absolutely horrendously out of tune. What's the matter? What's the matter?
Why are they friends?
They're friends because the fishing's very good.
Yeah. You deserve it. 1 second on karaoke starting now.
Me?
Yes, yes. Paul Merton challenge.
Hesitation.
Hesitation, yes, Paul. 2 seconds, karaoke starting now.
Why does a man...
So Paul Merton's got an extra point. He's leapt forward. He's equal with Clement Freud at the end of that round. They're both leading Tony Hawkes and Derek Nimmo, who are equal in second place. And Paul, your turn to begin. The subject, postcards. Will you tell us something about those in this game, starting now?
Whenever I'm away from home for a while, I tend to send postcards back to my loved ones and friends. I like to write them because I think you can express...
Tony Hawkes' challenge.
Why have I never got one, then?
I did say friends and loved ones. I mean, I send them on to the karaoke people all the time.
So you're not a loved, right.
Dear.
So, but what was the serious challenge?
There was no Sid. Did you not know? I was being frivolous. I'm sorry. Well,
I'll give you a bonus point for being frivolous, which, because the audience enjoyed it, but he did actually repeat something which you didn't spot. And
you're so clever, Nicholas.
No. I'm not. 52 seconds, postcards, starting now.
George and Ethel Postcard are two of my oldest friends. They live just...
Traditional friends.
Yes, because you talked about sending postcards to your friends before, and loved ones. But if we mention the word friends,
yes,
it's repetition.
Yes.
Right.
So who are these George and Ethel Postcards?
Well, if Derek had it interrupted, I could have given you a thumbnail picture.
Because they get a bloody postcard, don't they?
Derek, 48 seconds on postcards, starting now.
In 1972, I took my family to Saigon just before the Tet Offensive for a holiday. There weren't many people there.
Paul Merton Chuck.
This is deviation, taking your family to Saigon in the middle of... Surely, this is dreadful.
It's true.
Is it true? Mm. I will carry on this.
I don't think he'd actually got underway and got to postcards. I think they were coming up. So, yes, I give him the benefit of the doubt. 41 seconds, Derek. Postcards starting now.
My wife said principally I'd gone there so I could send a picture, a postcard, of tanks and bombs going off to my mother-in-law saying, wish you were here. The Great British Postcard, of course, as done by Mr. McGill, is, I suppose, one of the great...
Clement Freud challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, indeed, yes. Clement, another point, 26 seconds, postcards starting now.
I think it's fair to say that it is a huge mistake to write private and confidential on a postcard because so many people are likely to read the content and spoil the thrust of that simple message. I have sent postcards to people from every county in Ireland, 26 in the south, 6 in the north. And
Tony Hawk's a challenge.
Repetition of 6.
Yeah, 26 and 6. Well, listen, Tony, and you've got in with 4 seconds to go on postcards starting now.
Whenever I go away, I make a point of sending a postcard to Paul Merton. I will...
Yes, Tony Hawk's speaking then as the whistle went and gained that extra point. He's now in second place, just behind our joint leaders, Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and Derek Nimmo is 1 point behind him. And Derek, it's your turn to begin, and the subject is good nights. Will you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
There are, I suppose, many good nights in Britain, and quite a lot of bad nights as well, and most of them belong to an order of chivalry, except for the knight's bachelor, who don't. So Clement Freud is one of those very good knights, who is not one of a CB or anything like that. The orders are these. The first of all, there is the Garter Order. Something going, what's the matter? Huh? I thought it was an uneasy noise behind something was coming up.
Freud, your challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, there definitely was.
I didn't want anyone to interrupt him if he was going to go on talking about me.
It's the cleverest way out of getting out of some ploy that I've ever heard of. But Clement, you've got a point, you've got 39 seconds, you've got good night starting now.
I blame Ovaltine.
And Derek Nimmo challenged.
It just sort of stopped,
didn't it? I know he did.
It was a statement.
It was a statement. He had his Ovaltine and went straight to sleep. 35 seconds, Derek, on good night starting now.
I had a wonderful night last night with Emma Froy, the daughter of Sir Clement. We went to this extraordinary place where there were rats in a cage and ferns beneath, and they stealthily crept around these quadrupeds, and the stench was unbelievable. But this was a representation of some new kind of modern art, which this lovely daughter showed to me for the first time. I thought it was very enjoyable. And then we went to see some statues and things from Sarajevo, piles of bricks. Quite fun. And then two bouncers. And there she abandoned me this glorious, wondrous... I've been there since she was 2 years old.
So Derek Nimmo was speaking then as the whistle went. He was hesitating, deviating and repeating himself, but the others let him go because they thoroughly enjoyed it, and so did the audience. And you kept going to the whistle went and gained an extra point. You're equal in second place with Paul Merton. Clement Freud's one ahead in the lead. And Clement, your turn to begin. The subject, bunkum. Will you tell us something about bunkum in this game starting now?
Seven nines are 56. If we are marked to die, we are enough to do our country loss. And if to live, the fewer men, the greater share of honour. Seems to me total bunkum. Almost as much as getting the kings and queens of England in the right order, let alone the wrong one. I have several bits of advice to give people here. Go out and jump straight into the lake, and you will become drier and warmer. Steal your bathroom towels. Do not book in to the Hickton Hotel, because it is of no good to anyone. Bunkum.
Tony Hawks is challenged.
He's on drugs.
We're going to have a dope test after the show, actually.
I don't know if you'll pass it, Nicholas.
I've been dopey for years and made a good living out of it.
You heard it here first.
Yes.
I saw a sign in the car there that said, grow your own dope, plant Nicholas Parsons.
Eleven seconds, Tony Hawks, bunkum starting now.
Mock nub.
German Freud.
Hesitation.
No. He came in very rapidly. 16 seconds. Bunkum, Tony Hawk, starting now.
I do not agree with the rest of the panel, who sometimes say that Nicholas Parsons talks nothing but bunkum. He has a difficult job to do up there, and my goodness, he gives it his very best. He falls some way short of being average.
Hesitation.
No, I think it was deviation. I don't think...
Oh, we can't wait for this decision.
No, I can't. But right. Paul, what was your challenge?
Deviation. Okay.
Clement challenged first for hesitation, which I disagree with. So actually, technically, Tony must keep the subject with 3 seconds to go on bunkum, starting now.
Lord, look, Lummy, I've never been to a shop with those kind of trousers before on my ears.
So Tony Hawks was speaking as the whistle went. And he's now one ahead of Clement Freud and two ahead of Derek Nimmo and Paul Merton. And he also begins the next round. Tony, the subject is bats. After Buncombe, we go to Bats, and you start now.
Tabs is an anagram of Bats. Not very sophisticated, but I'm a beginner in that particular game. Now, I used to have a table tennis bat when I was little, and I was so thrilled that when I got my first one, which had sponge on it. This could really impress the other children at the school. Oh, my goodness, Tony's got a bat with that surface over the front of it. We are very scared at taking him on because he might beat us 11-0, and that'll be a humiliation. So they didn't, and I had to find another sport to do instead, and I chose cricket. And I had a marvellous bat of that persuasion. It was wood, which is a good start, and it had a handle at the top. That's the best way to have cricket bats, I feel.
But they're no more challenge.
Did you have a handle at the bottom?
I had it upside down.
That is not actually a challenge within just a minute, but he did repeat cricket, but you didn't spot that. 22 seconds, bats, Tony, starting now.
They fly about.
Clement Freud.
He repeated cricket.
They think you're mean, but I've got to be within the rules of just a minute. Give it to you, Clement. 21 seconds on bats, starting now.
Stab is a good anagram of bats. I just thought I would mention this.
Well, he was so pleased with mentioning it, he sort of just stopped.
15 seconds are left for bats with you, Paul, starting now.
I used to live in this early Norman church, and there are these bats in the belfry that would come down 7:30 every night and start screeching, and you hear absolutely unbelievable noise. So one night I went up there with a shotgun, and I thought, I'm going to get rid of these little devils. So I did it, they flew across, bang, there was one bat less than there had been before. So and then more bats.
Well, it just shows you how talented they all are, because Tony Hawks was in the lead, but only one ahead of Paul Merton and Clement Freud, and they are only 1 point ahead of Derek Nimmo. And Paul Merton, it's your turn to begin. The subject is Parsons' nose. There are 60 seconds, as usual, starting now.
Nicholas Parsons knows that he's greatly appreciated by the great British public. They can't get enough of him. As long as they don't have to pay any money, they're quite willing to come along and watch something like Just a Minute being recorded at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. Whether it's his natty style of dressing, his urbane manners, there's something about him that is quintessentially English. I don't know.
Tony Fawkes, you've challenged.
He's made up a new word there.
Quintessentially.
It's quintessentially, I believe.
Yes, I think it is, but
I was using the 17th century pronunciation.
Probably because you think that was a century in which I was born or something. Tony, I agree, deviation from the English language. So 38 seconds for you to tell us something about Parsons' nose, starting now.
If there is any deviation, hesitation or repetition that takes place on this particular programme, then God does Nicholas Parsons' nose. I've made that not right, have I?
Paul Merton challenge.
It's a slight deviation from the English language, Derek. Yeah. God does Nicholas Parsons' nose.
It was rubbish, I know.
Paul, 29 seconds, Parsons' nose starting now.
Nicholas Parsons knows that people hate him. They can't...
Clement Freud, challenge.
He said Nicholas before.
Oh, yes.
That's right, yes, right. Clement, you have how many seconds? 21 on Parsons' nose starting now.
I think quite an interesting thing of the British Broadcasting Corporation to have done was to introduce set-aside for Nicholas Parsons. It means that he doesn't have to work and gets paid. And the fact that you see him in this game today going through the motions of chairmanship is actually a wonderful...
Hesitation.
Yeah, and I'd have had him for deviation. 5 seconds on Parsons' nose starting now.
Every Christmas we would look forward to the moment when my mother threw open the kitchen door and presented us with...
Speaking as the whistle went, gained that extra point, and he's now one ahead of Tony Hawks and then Clement Freud and Derek Nimmo in that order. And Derek, your turn to begin. The subject, breaks. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
I wish I had a break in the last question, really, because I wanted to talk about Parsons' nose, and in particular, that which lies beneath it, because I think the audience ought to know that he's wearing the most lurid blazer that's ever been seen north of the border, and a tie, because he has no shame, to match it. Now I've had my break, I should probably move on and talk about breaks elsewhere.
for my car. Now, that actually has very poor ones. I had them fixed in the garage in Northamptonshire just before Easter, and they really don't work. So sometimes when I'm sliding down a hill and press on the brake pedal, it doesn't stop. And as a result of that, I went into a greenhouse in a village called Oney, demolishing a lot of plants and two cars that lay on either side of my motor vehicle. The car registration number is SXM5, if any of the constabulary in Buckinghamshire are looking for me, and it would be very nice if they did find me, because I would like to have a car.
Paul Merton?
Hesitation, unfortunately.
When?
When he's stopped between words.
That actually was a full stop.
I think he
in
meant
the middle of a sentence.
No, I didn't notice him hesitate.
No, whether you noticed it or not, Nicholas, I can't be held responsible for the few things that you notice in life.
Derry, I disagree with the challenge. You have 5 more seconds on breaks starting now.
Playing snooker, of course, it's very important to get a really good break. If you watch that programme that comes from the Crucible Theatre...
Gary Nimmo was speaking as the whistle went. He's still in fourth place. but he's only one behind Clement Freud, who's one behind Tony Hawks, who's one behind Paul Merton. That is the order. We're moving into the final round, and Tony, it happens to be your turn to begin as well. The subject is pippins. Will you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
You might not believe this, but there was actually a girl at my school called Mary Pippins, who was a dreadful girl who insisted on taking an umbrella everywhere she went, even if it wasn't raining. And had a list of her favourite things, but that's from another film, isn't it, I think? Anyway, pippins are apples.
Paul Merton has challenged you.
The hesitation, though.
I know, he was so overcome with his joke he couldn't get it. So, Paul, you've got pippins, you've got 43 seconds starting now.
I know Mary Pippins as well, and she's a wonderful individual. She's absolutely gorgeous. She walks down the street and everybody goes, oh, look, there's Pippins. And that's exactly who she is. She walks round.
Yes, repetition of walks. Pippins was doing too much walking. 32 seconds, Clement. Pippins starting now.
I had quite an interesting conversation once with some farmers who grew apples in Wisbeach. And the Ministry of Agriculture had told me that the price of this fruit was going to collapse. And I told them, and one of my constituents was good enough to reply, you are wrong. Apples are going up. And I said, this will come as a body blow to Sir Isaac Newton. Pippins are probably the nicest growth of fruit in that there's room, space. Between the flesh and the...
You have got exactly 1 second to tell us something about pippins, Paul, starting now.
I suppose my...
So, Paul Merton. Got in then, before the whistle went, gained an extra point for doing so, and I will now give you the final score. It is extremely close, because they're all so good at the game, so very few points separate Derek Nimmo, Clement Freud, Tony Hawks in that order, but just 3 points ahead of them all is Paul Merton, so we say he's the winner this week, Paul Merton. We do hope you've enjoyed this edition of Just a Minute. Only remains for me to thank our 4 outstanding players of the game, and also Alison Harbert, who's kept the score and blown the whistle for us so magnificently, and also our producer, Anne Jobson, and of course particularly Ian Messiter, who thought of the game, without whom we wouldn't still be playing it, and from me, Nicholas Parsons, until we take to the air once more and play Just a Minute, from all of us, goodbye.